and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. All right, it is 10 till. Preacher, I'm thinking you probably get out, usually 10 after, quarter till. Amen. All right, as long as everybody says amen, that's the only requirement. We'll get out of here on time. And I was thinking quarter, 10 till, 10 after or quarter after we'll be out of here past midnight, okay? But all right, there we go. Oh, that's a joke, all right? See, we're in churches all the time, and so I just let you know that I like to cut up. I might cut up so much that I might get in trouble, but the jokes aren't really for you. If you find them funny, that's fine. If you don't find them funny, God bless you, okay? But it's for me, though, all right? One thing I'm glad about church is you don't have to come to church. You get to go to church. And so when you go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you get where I'm going with this, all right? You learn to have fun, all right? But 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we're going to start with verse number 1, just read all the way down to verse number 5. And in reverence to the reading of God's word, let's just stand and stretch just for a moment here. And look at verse number 1. I'll read out loud while you read and follow along silently to yourself here. Verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did. Now, this is the final verse I'm going to read here. I want you to focus on this. Look at it. And this they did, not as we hoped, but look at this phrase. First gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. There's the phrase I'm going to be teaching a little bit, teaching and preaching on tonight. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. Why should you give your own selves to the Lord? I'll give you an answer. It says it right there in verse 5. And unto us by what? The will, say it with me, of God. It is the will of God that you give yourself to the Lord first. Yeah, in what areas? Well, I know this, in life. Yeah. There's some difference between you giving your eternity to the Lord Jesus Christ, but after that, you follow in take a step of obedience in baptism, but after that, you ought to give the rest up to the Lord. Yeah. And so we'll deal with that in just a second here. I'm going to pray. Have you seated after I pray? And we'll just dive right in here. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for tonight and the opportunity to present the ministry and calling that you have for us to the country of the Philippines. I pray, Lord, that there are some folks here that may have some questions. And Lord, after the service tonight about our ministry, if they have any questions, I pray, Lord, that you would give me the right words to say as I answer them. But Lord, as we get into the lesson tonight, I pray, Lord, that we would learn something. But not just learn something, but we would apply it within our lives. That may we have stronger, victorious Christian lives as a result. Well, there's so much that I want to say in these next couple of minutes, but help me not to say what I want to say. Help me to do your will. Holy Spirit of God, I ask you, control me. Help me to say the right things. Help me not to grieve you. And I pray, Lord, for the people that are here, that you would go from pew to pew, from person to person, from heart to heart. Help those that need help tonight. Encourage those that need encouraging. Just do what you do, Holy Spirit of God. For we ask all these things in Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. You may be seated. So if you want to give us a title tonight, I'm not really huge on the title part of it, but what our lesson is all basically about is right there out of verse 5, that phrase that I was just emphasizing a second ago. But first gave their own selves to the Lord. So we're going to look at some things, give you some points here on what happens when you give yourself to the Lord first. As I was saying just a second ago, what do you give the Lord first? Well, of course, I just mentioned it in your life. There are many, many sections of your life, though, that we do not, and we use that word generally, you know, very generally and very loosely in terms of life. When I'm talking about life here, many sections or areas of your life. One, your walk with God. Boy, it is so important that Christians learn to have that walk with God, but you ought to give it to the Lord. Because when you say, all right, I'm going to walk with God, it seems like you demand what's in your schedule, your time, and how often you go walk with God. No, just give it to God. If you have control of it, you know, and you don't give it to the Lord first, you're going to start putting a restriction on God. Oh, well, God, I only got to spend 15 minutes with you this morning. Oh, or maybe it's a busy day. It's going to be a really, really busy day. I got a lot of stuff to do. Lord, let's just give it 7 minutes today. You know, the best time to start your walk, to do a walk with God or walk with God, period, is the beginning of your day. Before you face this world, you ought to face your God. Because if you don't face your God first, how do you expect to face this world? When you walk into that job, when you walk into school, and they start telling the dirty jokes, or the boss has a list of things for you to do and starts chewing you out because things weren't getting done, I'm telling you, you face God, you can face this world. Yeah. The dirty jokes and so on and so forth, okay? What things in life? What other sections? I know this, for you that are married, your married life. You ought to give your marriage to the Lord first. I mean, I know you do that at the altar, so on and so forth. You, every day ought to be is a different day, and you ought to give that day to the Lord, right? Your finances are another area of your life. You would be surprised at people who have this thing called a budget.
Yeah.
Okay? And they say, all right, first of all, we say we have a budget, but do you live by it, right? But for those that live by it by the T, that they don't step out by faith, and do this thing called faith promise. I'm not here really to teach anything much about faith promise, but I am a missionary, so I at least ought to mention it tonight, amen? But faith promise is not you giving your tithes. Most people get that mixed up. The tithe is just 10%. That's the Lord's. In fact, the whole thing, the whole shebang, all right, as we say in California, your wages or any increase that you get, all of it belongs to the Lord. Maybe I should say that again. All of it belongs to the Lord. All right? That house that God gave you, it belongs to the Lord. That car, that Porsche you have in the garage, all right? Amen, Porsche, amen. Or that Lamborghini, right? But anyway, that car that God gave you belongs to the Lord. All of it. Here's the thing about all those increases that God has given you, from your salary to your wages. He says and commands you that 10% is His. All right.
I'm
maybe you're tired. I don't know. I know it is Wednesday, but 10. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to try it again. Okay. 10% of that belongs to Him. All right. I thought it said Baptist right outside, but amen. But 10%. That's the tithe. He doesn't ask for all of it, although it belongs to Him. But 10% is His. 90% of it. Get this. He has entrusted in you, and He calls you a steward of what He has given you, the 90%. So it is up to you what you do with that 90% that He trusts you with, to be wise about what to do with that 90%. I know this, according to the Bible, that 90% ought to go to offerings. The offering is above the tithe. And get this, offerings are sacrificial.
Yeah.
This is when you sacrifice and say, all right, we're not going to have Burger King this week, kids. We're not going to have McDonald's this week. I'm sorry. Ronald's going to have to keep the toys and the kids in the Happy Meal, and this is going to go to the offerings, things that are needed in the church. Amen. You mentioned the bus earlier. There's got to be gas. You got to buy diesel or gas into that fuel for that the lights have got to stay on. These wonderful lights that are up here that have been put up here by your pastor. He was telling me about it earlier. Makes me look good. Amen. But amen. all right, I thought I'd try that anyways. But the sacrificial giving of the people here, you got to feed some folks tomorrow. That's considered a part of a sacrificial offering. And then over and above, you mean to say there's more? Folks, there's always more. Either God will tell you there's more, or the government is the other alternative to that. They'll get you for everything. In fact, those of you that are looking at the news and the media, I was just trying to be an encouragement to the preacher the other day, with this HB2 and all these corporates, you know, these CEOs threatening to get out of North Carolina, they have nowhere else to go. All right. They left California and New York already. All right. The taxes are very high there. They don't tell you that, but they have left them. In fact, PayPal left us a long time ago. Carl's Jr., Hardee's, is about to leave and even take their employees with them and replace them with robots and these touch screens, you know, because we're getting ready to do $15 an hour out there and so on and so forth, okay? Now I'm going somewhere in a rabbit trail here. But anyway, you know, over and above the 10% is the sacrificial part. Over and above the offering, get this, is where Faith Promise Missions comes in. What is that? When you step out by faith and say, Lord, I've already given a tithe. I've sacrificially given. I've got bills that need to be paid. The tuition for the kids need to be paid. The utility bills have got to be paid. All right. This has got to be paid. All right. That two-car garage, the Porsche and the Lamborghini, that car payments. All right. I thought I'd just throw that in there, something about the car tonight. All right. But anyway, there's a car payment that needs to be paid. God knows all that. Okay. God knows all that. But when you step out by faith, what does he say about faith? For without faith, it is what? Impossible to please God. I've known the story of this one pastor. This was a long time ago. So he said that he used to give his daughter, he said that he would give his daughter as an allowance. This was a long time ago, $2 a week for school, for her lunch money or lunch or allowance. Okay. Really, though, she only had $1.50 for the whole week. Of course, he always made it over, not to, you know, to try and get her to understand that she's got to tithe that 10% of that $2, right? So there's 20 cents gone already. She's got $1.80 left. And so she's got lunch to be paid, and every week, 5 days, Monday to Friday, it was $1.50. But the rest of that all went right to her bus ride to school. So basically, at the end of the week, she had nothing left. One day, all right, a missionary came through, talked about Faith Promise, and they had a missions conference, I think it was, and she felt convicted under the Holy Spirit of God to start giving to missions, and that the Lord was speaking to her heart about giving $1 each week to missions. And by faith, she had told her dad, the pastor, that God said, if I step out by faith to give $1 a week, and dad, of course, pastor asked, where are you going to get this dollar? And by faith, she answered, from God. How did she get that dollar every week? Well, at the end of the service, she would go through these pews. Sunday morning, she would go row 2, row 3, and all this change from these church members who had been there Sunday morning, Sunday night, she would go through the pews. And then, of course, you know, you got your midweek service Wednesday night. She would go through on Wednesday night. And even Saturday, you know, that they had visitation or soul winning time, and they wouldn't sit in those seats and sit in the pews. And she would go through every pew. And guess what? Every week, by just going through the pews, somehow, you Baptists have lots of money, that is what I'm trying to say. No, I'm just kidding. But every week, the Lord would supply that dollar by faith. I don't know how God's going to do it, but that's what happens when you put your faith and step out by faith. That's what Faith Promise is about. I don't know what amount God has placed in your heart. I can't tell you that. Nobody can tell you that. All right? Now, going on with this lesson here of what happens when you give yourself to the Lord first. In those areas, I'm not talking about just giving tonight, but in areas of your life, these are the things that are going to happen to you. And there's a lot tonight that I can cover, but I'm just going to mention a few here. Let's look at verse number 2 here of chapter number 8, okay? Look at it again in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse number 2. The Bible says how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So here in chapter 8, we find out what happens when you give yourself to the Lord first. We see here in verse number 2 that number 1, a great trial of affliction occurs. A great trial of affliction. What does that mean? Well, things don't go right when you think things ought to go right, when you give yourself to the Lord first. What do I mean by that? Well, we were talking about finances already, all right? You start giving to Faith Promise, then all of a sudden a bill comes up that you weren't expecting to pay, that you didn't expect to, you know, that you didn't expect in the mail that month. How can it be that this bill comes up right when you say, oh, God's laying on my heart to give $20 a week or $20 a month. I don't know which amount there that God lays upon your heart, but Suddenly you start getting involved in this thing called missions and faith promise giving. And then all of a sudden this unexpected bill comes in. That becomes a great trial of affliction. Same thing with kids. You know, you think, oh, we're going to bring them to church and we're going to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord and they can hear great preaching. And then all of a sudden they get to their teen years. You know, we brought them to church all these years. Well, it's not the church. That's the job of disciplining your kids to begin with. But it does happen. Great trial of affliction occurs. And it's how you respond to that that could either make you a bitter or a better, as they say, Christian. Okay? Yeah. Persecution is going to come when you serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Afflictions are going to come when you serve the Lord. We were tonight just listening to all the prayer requests, to hear that word more than once tonight of cancer. Okay? And to have parents that passed away of cancer, it's almost like a cuss word. You know, I don't like hearing it. But you hear all these people. And it's normal because it's called a great trial affliction. When you serve the Lord, trials are going to start. You're going to go through some storms. Nobody likes going through them. But the best part about being in a storm is you're guaranteed, as I heard the other night, that you're guaranteed to get out of the storm. Because it's going to stop. It's going to pass. But here's the thing. We don't like them, right? It's how you respond. And the thing is, by responding, well, how do you know how to respond? Well, it's not your response after the storm. It's how you prepare for it. What do you do? What are lessons about tonight? Did you give yourself to the Lord first? Did you say, Lord, this is my fill in the blank? So that when the devil tries to tweak with you and test you and poke at you, and when the world comes at you and just does not agree with what you're talking about, you can say, you know what? That's easy. I don't like it. I don't like it when loved ones pass away. I don't like it when loved ones get sick. I don't like it when we go through trials and tribulations. I understand we're going to go through great trial of affliction. But ladies and gentlemen, when you give of yourself to the Lord first, you come out of that saying, it was good that I gave myself to the Lord. See, when you give yourself to the Lord first, then it dictates how you respond. Some people don't respond well. In fact, let me give you a Bible verse. Turn your Bibles to Mark chapter 4 here. I'm going to move a little bit quicker here. Mark chapter 4. And look at verse number 16 and number 17 here. Mark chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. Here's what happens to some people who don't give themselves to the Lord first. By the way, the Bible does say in the Bible that on Matthew chapter 5, verse 45, and won't turn there, that it rains on the just as well as the unjust. So everybody goes through great trial of affliction, goes through trials, goes through persecution. But look what happens here to a person who does not happen to give their self to the Lord first. Verse 16 here of Mark chapter 4. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness. Now look at verse 17. And have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. See, that's what's wrong with America today. There are a lot of Christians that are easily offended. And so they have no root in them. They don't grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad they're saved. I'm glad they're going to heaven. But yet don't take the time to walk with God and grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why it is good for you to get into this book right here. The King James Bible, amen, for our generation, all right? It is good that you read the Word of God. Just talking at dinner with your pastor, I can tell how studious he is because he's telling me about something he was studying. I got a sermon out of what he was talking about, amen. And that just tells you how great you have it here with your pastor. I mean, be a student of the Bible. I'm not expecting you to be a know-it-all. That's not what God wants you to be. But God wants you to have root inside you that when the world comes at you, when the devil throws his arrows at you and persecution arises and you get either offended or you say, you know what? This Bible is sharper than any two-edged sword. It is alive. And so you just know where to go for the answers. Amen. Next, number two here. I just want to give you a couple. There's a lot that I can give you tonight, but I don't want to put too much in there and overload you. But look, go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 here. Look at verse 2 again. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, our text here for tonight. Verse 2, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Look at that phrase. Their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of the of their liberality. So what happens when you give yourself to the Lord? First, we said, number one, a great trial of affliction occurs. Number two, you start giving liberally out of deep poverty. I'm going to explain that to you in a second here. You start giving liberally out of deep poverty. Now, when I say the word liberally, and when the Bible talks about being that word liberality, it's not talking about liberals in California. Now, I get to park it there for a little bit if I wanted to, being that I'm from California, but we won't go there because I can talk all night about liberalism and that they're socialist. No. But it's true. But anyways, it's not talking about that, okay? It's talking about you freely giving, and then look at this, out of our deep poverty. What does that mean? Is there anybody here that's rich that wants to confess? No, I'm just kidding. But it's talking about we all go through difficult times financially. It also means we don't have much in terms of our time and our talents and our treasures. Okay? Those are the three things that God has given you to be a wise steward of in the Christian life. Nobody here has more time than the other. We all have 24 hours in a day, 7 days a week, right? So that's 168 hours in 1 week. Nobody has 1 hour more or half hour more or less than the next person you're sitting next to. The talent, now that we can vary in, all right? And treasures. Get this, in the Philippines, we're talking about $15 an hour in California just a second ago, right? They had just raised the minimum wage out there. Get this, to $7. Some of you are thinking, wow, $7, not bad. Yeah, here, they're trying to raise it to $15 an hour, right? In the Philippines, they just raised it to $7. Now, I just stopped at $7, right? You're thinking, or some of you are like, just $7? No, it's $7, get this, a day. I know their currency is in pesos, but it's equivalent to about $7 a day. We're talking about per hour here in America. In Philippines, it's per day. You want to work for $7? No, I'm not going to ask anybody that question. But think about this. I was sitting in a church, and I've done a lot of traveling in the Philippines. As you saw in the video there, I traveled with a pastor that led soul winning leadership conferences. One church I was sitting at, front row right here, had all these secretaries. One of those Sundays that they call Mission Commitment Sunday. For their faith promise giving, they're taking in all these commitment cards from church members. And the pastor was getting these cards. He takes a card, reads it, puts it right here. All the secretaries are taking the amount. They want to know how much is being committed to the Lord for faith promise in that one fiscal year of their church. Okay? Get this. At the end of the day, this one church I was sitting at. Now, I'm not trying to compare American churches with Filipino churches. Now, understand this. In the Philippines, it's known as a third world nation. There are people that work $7 a day as their minimum wage, and most people don't even make $7 a day. That's where the poverty line is for their country. Some people drive this thing called a jeepney. All right, it looks like a little vehicle there. These World War II jeeps that Americans left behind, diesel-powered jeeps, and turn it into what they call the jeepney, customize it in the back with two benches to supposedly fit 15 people. If you look at our display table, you'll see that there are more than 15 people inside and outside of that jeepney, all right? But they don't even make $7 a day. On this one Sunday, sitting there and listening to the pastor read, and the secretary's all lined up right here, at the end of the day, the total was, get this, in the Philippines, where they make $7 a day, 5 million pesos for that year committed towards missions. Men, women, and children all committing to give to missions. How much is 5 million pesos? That's around $250,000 to missions. In a third world nation where they don't make more than $7 a day, what's our excuse as Americans to not give to missions? Amen? So we start giving liberally out of deep poverty. I want to show you this also in John chapter 12. Well, there's a lot of poor people out there that need to be helped. It's one of those liberal things I was talking about earlier, okay? We've got to help the poor. We've got to feed them. And I'm all for that. We ought to help out the poor. Look at this, though. John chapter 12 and verse number 8. I want to just show you what the Bible says. And this is Jesus talking here. John chapter 12, verse number 8. For the poor always ye have with you. So you could be the richest person and give to the poor. Guess what? You have not helped hunger one bit. You have not helped the poor one bit. Because the Bible has given it a definite that it is, we'll always have the poor. But look at this, the second part of the verse. But me, talking about Jesus, ye have not always. You know why? He's sitting on the right hand of the Father. And he's interceding for you and me, the Bible says. What does that mean? We can have an opportunity to get as involved as we can in missions and get involved in the ministry. Get involved in your city here, Salisbury, to reach lost souls for Jesus Christ. To give liberally, look at this, out of deep poverty.
Yeah.
See, here's what you and I deserve. It's hell. For the wages of sin is what? Death. That's what we deserve. Spiritual death as well. That's to die and go to a place called hell. But Jesus gave us his all, his life's blood, right? And paid it all at the cross. We're still left without nothing. So you know what that means? Keep giving. Just like Jesus gave. Why? Because he gave it all. He's the best example of a giver. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
Wow. Because he loved this world. You ought to love the people of this world as well that you start giving. Well, I don't have much. Again, poverty or being poor is never an excuse not to give of your time, to going out, knocking on doors, talking to people, visiting with them, showing them the gospel. Not an excuse. Deep poverty out of your finances and of your talents. You start giving liberally out of your deep poverty. And I'm going to finish with this one, the number three. What happens when you give yourself to the Lord first? Turn back to 2 Corinthians here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And look at verse number 3 in our text. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Look at that phrase. And beyond their power they were willing of themselves. All right? That basically meant that they were beyond their power, that they realized how great God is. Maybe God has blessed you financially and you can give more than most people in the church. That's great, but you can never outgive God. Amen. Maybe God has blessed you with many talents. God has so many talents. Amen. He's God. Amen. But we can never outdo God in anything, in our time, in our talents, in our treasures. Get this, as far as you can do, as much as you can do, you still got to get to a point where you realize when you give of yourself first to the Lord, yes, a great trial of affliction is going to happen. Yes, you start giving liberally out of deep poverty. But beyond your power, you realize just how great God really is. When you give to missions and you say, I don't know where this money is, you get to a point you say, God, you answered it because you stepped out by faith and he provided. When you think about this, let's go with the Bible. Think about the lad who gave up his lunch and fed the whole multitude because of a sack lunch. For me personally, I think it was a miracle that the young lad even gave his lunch to Jesus and the disciples to begin with. All right, you ask any kid around here, hey, what you got in the bag? They'll hide it right away, man. But you're just asking, what's in the bag, right? But to give up his lunch and all of a sudden, Jesus feeds the multitude, everybody. Just imagine being the disciples. He's pulling out more bread here. He's pulling out more fish here. Just imagine being the lad, those leftovers. Trust me, when you get into a Baptist potluck, there are never leftovers at a Baptist potluck, amen? That's a miracle right there. They had leftovers to begin with, but the leftovers that were coming in, you know, when you go through your trials, you go, you know how great God is.
Yeah.
You come out of it and you say, God, you're good. And God is not just good that one time. Get this, God is good all the time.
Yes,
amen? And so you realize, Just like, I'll give you another one here before we go. Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. Those that talk about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues was done by the Bible and done on the day of Pentecost the right way, which was for everybody to understand, okay? My wife knows 5 different dialects, and she also, as you saw in the video, was a foreign missionary to China. She also learned to speak a little bit of Mandarin while she was on the mission field there in China for 3 years. I used to, in our presentation, tell everybody which dialects that she knew of and just list them out there. I made that mistake a long time ago, all right? Headhunter, there goes my head, right? But reason being is we were at this one church and there were Filipinos in the congregations, Filipino members, and every dialect that I called out, it was a Filipino that knew that dialect. And the mistake of me saying that, after the service, they all came up to her right after that service, and in their dialect started talking to her. They all crowded around her, all right? And even there was a lady from China that was there speaking Mandarin, too. She had a meltdown. Why? Because they were all talking to her at the same time, and she was trying to switch from one language, one dialect to the next. In fact, she knows English, too. You know how much you struggle with English, amen? But that was a miracle that she was even trying to talk to everybody in her dialect all at one time. Just imagine what Peter was doing on the day of Pentecost and preaching to everybody. And all those people, and I still read about it in Acts chapter 2. You know, one of the books that Brother Hiles recommended to read is the book of Acts to keep you on fire for the Lord and church work. Amen. And so Acts chapter 2, to read that 3,000 people got saved and baptized on that day, all because Peter was used mightily of the Holy Spirit to preach in everyone's languages, and to see what my wife did and how she had her meltdown. There's a realization there that, you know what, God can do anything. And God is so good all the time. Yeah. And folks, you don't know how good you have it when you give of yourself to the Lord first. In what? Your life. In your time. In your talents. In your treasures. I hope that you may have learned something here tonight. But I hope that if you haven't done yet, tonight, I could have gone all night. There's more. And I'm just trying to have fun here. And I know most of you are tired here. But I hope that if you haven't done it yet today, it makes it easier to write that check to Tabernacle Baptist Church. Because it's not really a check for Tabernacle Baptist Church, to be honest with you. It's for souls being saved in your city. It's for souls being saved in your state. It's for souls being saved in this country. Better yet, it's also for souls being saved, as the Bible puts it in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to the uttermost parts of the earth, of people that you may never see, trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. But one day when we get to heaven and we start praising the Lord because we actually made it there, amen, that we're there in heaven, and to see all the people because of this thing that you gave of yourself to the Lord first. See, that's how great heaven's going to be. To see what kind of an impact you have. Well, I don't know about the kind of impact that $5. Oh, yeah, $5 goes a long way. You have someone like my wife. Someone like me, a future generation, after my grandfather was reached by American missionaries. Get this. American missionaries. Because there were people before us that were willing to give of ourselves first. All right, let's pray. Let's all stand.